Where are these gifts? Where are the apostles? And where are the prophets? And where are the gifts of healing? And where are the gifts of faith? And where are the gifts of government? And where are all these gifts? Why don't we have them? Well, it's because we haven't entered through the door. He that entereth by some other place is a thief and a robber. There's only one door to enter into this glorious temple of the living God, and being a stone, a living stone in the temple of God. And God shows us the door. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We had that thought yesterday in connection with women wearing a veil. Why is the Apostle Paul so hard on the women? Why in the world? Why, men are bad enough. In fact, men are sometimes worse. But there's a reason why he says, I suffer not a woman to teach. Let her learn to ferme la bouche. Let her be veiled. There's a reason for that. As soon as God begins to bless, why, the weeds spring up like everything. We've had that difficulty in Pentecost. Somebody said to me, why is it in the beginning of Pentecost, in these Pentecostal papers, all the prophets were women? All the leaders were women. Why is that? Why, it's because a woman is more easily abandoned to the Holy Ghost, and some of them have been wonderful prophets and wonderfully used of God. Marvelous. It's because a man is more businesslike. It's hard for a man usually to abandon himself to the Lord. Women enter right into the baptism, and they become affluent, and they become effervescent, and they think they're prophets and they're apostles. And then they run off with things. And then the devil comes along and says, all right, if you want to be a prophet, I'll help you. And that's where a great deal of trouble has come in the church. Women running the show. And if they want to learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Let them be in subjection. And that applies not only to women, but to men as well. Only as we enter in through the straight gate are we eligible for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, when you get to the place where you recognize that you're nobody. Absolutely. Oh, we say that, but we don't believe it until the Holy Ghost has been able to put you into the crucible and to burn out that self-esteem. That's what we need. Not only women, but men as well. God doesn't mean to be hard on women at all. But it puts the brakes where it belongs. And we ought to see that God has these gifts, and Jesus Christ is not manifested until these gifts are set into the church, until the Holy Ghost is able to separate men and women, put his power upon them. You are a member of the body of Christ. How do you function? Where do you function? Do you build up? Does life flow from you? Does light emanate from you? Or do you defile the temple of God? Or have you become a brake shoe or something like that? We really ought to study these things. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What's he talking about? Well, Israel failed. God wanted a nation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now God says, he has made us a kingdom. Beloved, we're a kingdom. But we have a king. And now by the mercy of God, which has chosen us and called us with a holy calling, let's not do like Israel. They wanted to be like other nations. That's where Pentecost has failed. They wanted to be like other churches, and so immediately they organized. And God said to Samuel, don't weep. They have not rejected you, they've rejected me. Why? Why, it's a hard job to really obey God. It's a hard job to rear an assembly for God in the Holy Ghost. It's a difficult job. You try it once and see, but you can't do it. It's been a hard job for God. Oh, how he poured out his spirit in Pentecost. How he filled men and women with the Holy Ghost. And where did they land? Look all through the world. Pentecost is more divided than any other church, perhaps. When we went to Germany, they told us, we don't want you. There have been 56 different sections of Pentecostal churches that want to get into Germany. 56 that can't get along with one another. That's not the body of Christ. Now the question is, have I accepted my call? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God that have forgiven me all my transgressions and now has chosen me and united me to the Son of God to be his very own, a member in his body. That's the call. And only by the mercy of God do we become vessels of honor and vessels of glory. And the others have become vessels of destruction and of wrath. And now am I a vessel of glory and a vessel of honor to be filled with the glory of the Lord so that the glory of God might be manifested by me? That's his call. And now how will I walk? Let us therefore walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Number one, with all lowliness and meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That must be the signal and the sign of my being chosen. Humility of mind, lowliness of mind, poverty of the Spirit. Most of us don't know what that means because we have not accepted it from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not accepted his call. We have not gone to school with the Holy Ghost. I told you many times how in the Pentecostal school, I told the students two things are absolutely necessary. First of all, absolute humility. And second, absolute purity. And one teacher wept and said, "Brother, you struck the nail on the head. Oh, this conceit and this pride that dwells within us. And as God blesses us, it's inflated. It's like one of these toy balloons. You buy it for a nickel, maybe, and there's the picture of a clown on that balloon. Little clown. Blow it up, and you blow up the clown. And that's what's the matter with us. As soon as God begins to blow us up, why, the clown is blown up. We're apostles, we're prophets. We rule. You do as I say. I'll tell you where you belong. And we use the gifts of the Holy Ghost to bawl one another out. Excuse me if I talk German or English. Die Suppe wird nie so heiß gegessen, wie sie gekocht wird. But it's the truth. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye be not conformed to this world. Don't be like these organizations that have to have a button before they'll function. They have to be recognized or they'll run away. How many have run away from this assembly because they were not recognized and they were not allowed to function like they thought they should? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I will not be a vessel unto honor until that mind of mine has not only been purified, but transformed. Until I have the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, that will give me a passionate desire to be the servant of all, to be despised by all if necessary, to be persecuted, to be misunderstood. And Paul said, I glory in my infirmities, in imprisonments, in stripes, in being defamed, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He knew that as long as there was anything of self functioning within him, Jesus Christ would be locked down. Oh, this wonderful straight gate, God my Father. The teaching of absolute humility, of being crucified with Christ, we don't even understand it unless the Holy Ghost can give it to us, and then we don't want it. That's what's the matter. Why are there not all these gifts of the Spirit represented in this assembly? Well, I've spoken in tongues and it wasn't interpreted. I guess the preacher doesn't like me. All right, well then don't speak in tongues anymore. What's the matter? Or you can't sing solo in the choir. Well then don't sing anymore. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Beloved, that mind is the mind of God. It's God possessing your mind and your feelings and your heart and your body. Your body has become Christ's member, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, until God accepts me as a vessel to house his jewels, his crown jewels. There will be some cleansing process necessary, and God will have to do it, and God does it. And the best place to experience it is in a church like this, where we rub elbows with one another, where we have to suffer with one another. We've got to have that love that suffereth long and is kind, and that envies not, and that vaunts not itself, that is not puffed up, that doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked, thinketh no evil. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, first of all, I must have a desire for it. And then God Almighty will begin to cleanse and purify. Why do I say these things? Is there any hope at all? Well, God is working someplace at it. He is. He's got some members someplace that are cooperating with him with fear and trembling. Brother Gardner and Sister Gardner and others and I have been in a church that was the nearest to perfection that we have, that God had in the whole world. And out of that great crowd of people that prided themselves of belonging to that assembly and hearing the word of God, there's only a handful that acted upon it. They all became prophets, false prophets. They all ran off with the blessing. That's the nature of the beast. You don't have to go to Rome and find the mark of the beast. You find it right in yourself. But oh, that mark of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, we are thinking of the passion of the Son of God. We ought to meditate therein. How he humbled himself and became obedient and took that kiss of Judas lovingly. Friend, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Oh, to study the Lamb of God. Oh, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Beloved, it requires a great deal more than we can pump up. It takes a waiting upon the Lord, and more than that. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what God gave us the Bible for. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God. We need the reproof. And not only the reproof, but we need to turn at his reproof. Then he'll pour out his Spirit upon us. God works in us to will. Yes, he does. Thank God. And if he doesn't, then goodbye. Then you're lost. Then you don't need to try. If God gives you up to a reprobate mind, and lots of people have been given up to a reprobate mind. Visit them in their homes. Listen to what they talk about. Listen to how they talk about the preacher and about other people in the church. And you'll find out that God had to give them up to a reprobate mind. The devil has come in. And here Christ wants to come in and speak his word, manifest his power, build his temple, clean out the money changers, and make it a house of prayer for God and his Father. Oh, transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need that Bible. I need that reproof. I need that rebuke. I need that correction. I need that instruction in righteousness, and not by books, but by one book. I need it from heaven. I need bread that comes down from heaven. I need water of life that becomes within me a fountain. I need that sword of the Spirit. Not a sword that I turn at somebody else and say, now you're the fellow. But that tells me I am the man. Oh God, that sword of the Spirit that becomes a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. You're surprised what men and women get away with. Well, get away with it. Go ahead. That's your privilege. Men that'll fool the church and fool the preacher, like the man I told you about who wanted the letter of recommendation to the Bureau of Infernal Revenue, said he had given so much money to missions. We had no record of it. Well, he said, I gave it to such and such a missionary. When we asked him, he said he didn't get a penny from him. Men that speak in tongues, they'll lie, they'll deceive, they'll fool. How is it possible? Judas, what are you doing at the communion table? Eating that bread and drinking that wine? What are you doing at the communion table? Beloved, God has a wonderful, wonderful life for us all. We are members of one another. Glory. Jesus. Members of one another and members of Him. Thank God we are. We are a kingdom of priests unto God and our Father. If we have entered through that gate, and we would know a great deal more about being gifted in the Holy Ghost if we didn't try to gift ourselves and assert ourselves. And if you don't start at the bottom, you'll never get to the top. That's where you have to start buttoning your sweater, or you'll have one button too many on top and one buttonhole too many on the bottom. No, start at the bottom. Let me see, what can I do in this meeting to bless the meeting? What would Jesus do if he were me? The least of all, I can't prophesy. I cannot heal the sick. I cannot cast out devils. But I can smile. I can say, praise the Lord. How do you do, sister? How are you getting along? And I can pray for all of them. I can. That was my first job when God saved me. I was in the Baptist church. But you know, I prayed for them all by name. Not just mentioning their names, but God had given me a great burden in my heart, is sorrow in my heart for these people. I wanted them to be saved. And day after day, I spent hours on my knees before my God, praying for these people. What was the result? Dozens of them are in Pentecost preaching the gospel today. That was my job. I didn't want to be a preacher. Never thought of being a prophet. In fact, I never knew I was prophesying when I was doing it. Speaking by the Lord. I didn't know how it was done. You don't have to know these things. But when you present your body a living sacrifice and you say, my God, I don't belong to myself, what can I do to serve you and serve your cause? Oh, I can do something. If it's only to come to prayer meeting half an hour ahead of time and pray the place up so then when others come, they feel the presence of God there. What a job! You won't get a button for that. But you might get a crown. But those things are far from us, as far as the east is from the west. We don't think of serving God that way. Oh, but if we can speak in tongues, then we want to be the first one to be recognized and to have our tongues interpreted. I told you how in Switzerland, the worst cow gets the biggest bell. He says here, those members which are less honorable, upon them we bestow the greatest honor. We ought to be suspicious of these things, suspicious of ourselves. And the greatest danger to my soul is when God begins to use me. That's the place when the devil will lurk around and say, well, maybe I can make him conceited. Maybe I can make him feel that he is quite somebody. He's quite different from others, you know. Oh, to be nothing, nothing, only to lie at his feet. To be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I need this word. I need this discerning of my thoughts and of my intents. And that's why God, in his great mercy, gives us this word of life. And the righteous delights himself in the law of the Lord that reduces him, that pronounces the sentence of death upon all that is of the flesh and the world and the devil. Oh, to enter in through that gate would soon make us all eligible. And God would pick out people. Maybe you'd never have a gift that would make you shine, but there would be a blessing emanating from your life. Everybody could feel. Isn't it strange how quickly you sense God in a person? Some people try to impress people by their loudness of their spirituality, and it jars, it kills, it slays. And others never open their mouth, but you sense Jesus. God is there. Them that honor me, I will honor. And beloved, here's a lesson that we ought to wake up to. Not to put on gifts, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the garment of humility. Only Jesus can do that. I cannot keep myself humble or make myself humble. Only Jesus can do that, but he can. And when I dedicate myself and present myself to him and say, not my own, oh Jesus, I am thine. And he knows I mean it. He'll see to it that I find my place, and he'll see to it that you find your place. And so he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has divided in the church as he wills his gifts. And it seems to me we've come to a place where there ought to be. We ought to pray for our young people. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I've heard some of them prophesy at times. But we don't stay there. We don't become set in. We're too careless about God's call. And I believe that God has begun with the beginning of this year to do a cleansing work in our circles. I know he has in Germany. Walter has grown spiritually, marvelously. He has sought God with all his heart. And he has gone through the fiery furnace. That's what makes the difference. And now the whole work has blossomed out into God in a new way. That's why I say we ought to pray for our ministers. Oh God, my Lord. Help us, Jesus. You will not fail to teach us these things. I know he's doing it. When I hear our ministers speak, I know that God is giving wonderful light. You don't get that in schools of learning, in theological seminaries, or out of books. You don't get it there. You've got to get it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where you watch and pray with the bleeding Lamb of God at his feet. Jesus, the head, he knows what he wants you to be and what he wants you to do, and he alone can do it in you. And be that in you, oh God, in these days, please, Lord, do something mighty for us.